Some years ago, I was in a library and on my way out, paused in front of a large fish tank. At first, my interest was casual, but I soon was captivated by a rather cartoonish creature about the size of, and not that different in shape from, a clothing iron. Deep brown with small white dots all over, it had a square head and a nearly undetectable mouth and bulbous, almost black eyes. I eventually strolled along the tank's 15-foot length, admiring some other residents, but none enchanted me quite as much. Finally, I turned the corner so that I was viewing the tank from the side and saw the spotted ironfish at the far end. I gazed on as it slowly swam straight toward me at eye level and ended its voyage by touching its thin lips against the glass right where my mouth was. Probably just chance, but perhaps the admiration was mutual. As it reversed course and swam off, I said, "Thank you," and turning to go, almost stumbled over the angelfish-shaped donation container. The sign on it said, "Your donations help feed the fish," and clear plastic sides revealed a number of bills inside. My first thought was, well, isn't it nice that people donate? Looks like a lot of bills in there, and really, how much can seaweed flakes cost? More seriously, I thought, like, well, yeah, I have a mound of midlife student loans from seminary, but I'm blessed to be working now. And I checked my wallet, two singles. Okay, $1 or two. Then I saw the five spot on the top of the pile in the container. And I thought, shoot, except it wasn't spelled with two O's. Well, I reasoned, that came from someone with a six-figure income. Which could be true. But I had experienced more quiet delight in the last few minutes than I get during most entertainments, and those typically cost much more. So wanting to help care for my new finny friend and its tank mates, I folded up a five and dropped it in the slot. Next stop, the grocery store. As I near the entrance, a woman is sitting there holding another sign. No job. Please help. I'm guessing many of you have also experienced that heavy, silent, vaguely guilty sigh that passed through me. I just gave $5 to care for some fish. How much more worthy of care is this fellow human being? And more apprehensively, who or what is around the next corner? Former Harvard psychologist Richard Alpert turned spiritual teacher Ram Dass widens the scope of this ethical quandary when he speaks of that difficult moment when our pens are poised over our checkbooks, or these days more likely our finger over a computer mouse or smartphone app. Do I help to save the children, the whales, aid those experiencing homelessness? Do I help fight a disease or support a candidate? In such a moment, not only are our checkbooks open, our hearts are too. For in some measure, we're taking in the weight and pain of life. And it can be troubling because no one person can fix all that needs repairing. As Adrian Rich put it in our reading's opening lines, "My heart is moved by all I cannot save. So much has been destroyed." In our culture, there aren't many places we can bring our moved hearts together in community, can honestly be with our disquiet and concern over what's being destroyed. But you can bring these to UUCPA. And it's not only okay that you do, it's vital. First, because acknowledging our heartache makes it possible to move beyond the cultural trance of numbness and denial that tries to convince us that everything is fine. Or if it can't quite accomplish that, offers a quick fix. Buy something, or eat something, or watch something, or drink something, maybe several somethings. You'll feel better. Second, it's vital because this congregation knows that heartache is connected to love. Whether it's a localized sadness, like not being able to help every unemployed or unhoused person we encounter, or grief over much larger scale issues, Our sorrow is a sign that something we value is imperiled or afflicted. And this pain, properly understood, can be transformed into fuel for saving what we can. As Rich continues, I have to cast my lot with those who, age after age, perversely, with no extraordinary power, reconstitute the world. At UUCPA, we indeed cast our lot with one another on behalf of a fuller vision of wholeness and a wider circle of compassion for all of life. As this vision energizes and flows into various actions, we help to reconstitute the world, and along the path, develop meaningful connections, deepen our spiritual lives, make new friends, and often have a lot of fun. And especially in these particularly destructive and challenging times, all these are precious things. Thus, UUCPA, and more broadly Unitarian Universalism, is a sturdy and steadfast home for our hearts, one where we're truly seen, heard, known, and valued. One where we say, I see we share important moral principles. I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me because we are better and stronger together. One where we understand that when our hearts open more fully to pain, they also open more fully to relatedness and joy. I experienced all of this at another UU congregation some years ago. To begin with a little background, having attended a graduate program in spirituality and culture that acquainted me with an eclectic range of spiritual teachers and traditions, as well as the insightful critical perspectives these engendered, my desire to share what I learned moved me to do further grad work in mass media at San Francisco State. For some years, I then worked in various facets of the media field, which included moves to Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. In L.A., I got married and soon became a dad to two terrific children, but the marriage didn't fully work, and my wife and I eventually divorced amicably. Though respectful, this was heartrending. It was also becoming distressingly clear to me that the form in which I'd been working wasn't the best vehicle for the spiritual and critical viewpoints I wanted to share. I explored new options, including teaching, social work, and counseling psychology, but none felt quite right. So in the fall of 2009, newly separated and without work, I visited the UU Fellowship of Thousand Oaks, mainly to explore it as a possible spiritual community for my kids. Or so I thought. Because while I'd been to a few UU services elsewhere, sitting alone in the sanctuary before my first service at this fellowship, feeling more than a bit lost and like I had disappointed, if not totally failed, myself and others on several counts, I flipped through our Singing the Living Tradition hymnal. And for the first time, I noticed several poems and readings in the back, including Adrian Rich's, that I'd previously encountered on my own, words that had deeply sustained and inspired me. And finding them here in a UU church hymnal, I began to weep for the pain and losses, but also because for the first time in what seemed like forever, I felt like my heart and my spirit had found a home. This led to conversations with the interim minister there, who, after hearing my background and aspirations, encouraged me to pursue UU ministry, which I obviously did. So as it turned out, my tears that morning ultimately heralded a dual homecoming, because they also called me to my true vocational residence. That was only possible because long before I brought my aching and hungry heart there, others had given of themselves and their resources, including their financial assets, to establish and sustain that free-thinking and inclusive spiritual abode. And for nearly 80 years, people have given of their time, energy, and money to sustain UUCPA. You are now a trustee of that legacy. And as your pen is poised over your checkbook, or finger over mouse or smartphone app, you might ask yourself, what is having a place to regularly strengthen and uplift my spirit worth to me? What value do I put on a place that, as for me, can not only hold my heartache, but potentially transform it? What will I give to support a home for my heart that lifts my vision and helps me reconstitute both myself and the world? Having been a congregant before becoming a minister, I've learned that what I then thought was a suitable gift really wasn't enough to sustain the place that had so impactfully sustained me. I needed to reach deeper. And I can assure you that the beat of this heart home that is UUCPA stays strong only because you give big-heartedly. My heart is moved by all I cannot save. So much has been destroyed. I have to cast my lot with those who, age after age, perversely, with no extraordinary power, reconstitute the world. We are blessed that you have cast your lot with this community, and so grateful for your support. Thank you for giving all you can. Namaste, and blessed be.